Hi, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Hot Off the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and I am joined by friend of the pod and executive editor of The Dip, Allison Pivovarsky. Hi, Allison.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I could not be more excited to be here today to talk about this.
We are going to talk about the Lula Rich documentary that is on Amazon Prime. I watched like the first 5 minutes of it and I was just obsessed. And like, it's all I wanted to talk about. So I basically forced Allison, I feel like, to watch this.
Okay. No, I was very aware of Lula Rich or Lula Roe.
Okay.
How badly do you want to call it Lula Rue? I don't know why, but it's going to come out and I'm just telling everybody, but I have to remember it's Monroe.
Yeah.
granddaughter Monroe. I was aware of LuLaRoe for a while, but it was one of those things that I just felt like I had the surface level of knowledge on. I didn't know what was waiting for me. I will say I started taking notes when watching this docuseries, and then at one point I was like, Allison, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Put the notes away. And I just, like, became consumed.
Yeah, I knew, same with you. Like, I knew, like, very surface level. I thought I knew more. And then I watched it and was like, oh, Kelly Clarkson's involved? Katy Perry is at a show? Like,
Daryl can't listen to his favorite Kelly Clarkson duet anymore.
He's
because
devastated.
Of this.
He's devastated. We'll get into that. But I used to work with someone who, actually several people, who loved LuLaRoe.
Like, no, that was like we're involved.
They weren't involved. Like, they weren't selling, but they
shoppers.
They were going to their local retailer and purchasing some LuLaRoe. That is like what they wore when they wanted to feel good and fancy,
sexy and free. So were they buying like maxi skirts with hamburgers on them?
The leggings. So really quick, to kind of fill everybody in, I just want to give you guys a little backstory of what LuLaRoe is in case you're not familiar. It was started by a woman named Deanne. It was Brady, and then she married Mark Stidham. So her name is Deanne Stidham. In 2013, she started sewing and making maxi skirts out of like this printed, colorful, kind of thin, stretchy, breathable fabric. And then it kind of branched into leggings and then shirts and dresses and everything like that. But they are known for their colorful prints. And it kind of gave like a sisterhood of the traveling pants vibe. Like, women of all shapes and sizes felt that they, you know, fit them and felt good in them. But also, we have to note that this is a multi-level marketing business. Technically, that's like a pyramid scheme if we're just going to call it that.
They call it that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. They do. And at its peak in 2016, according to Rolling Stone, the company reported sales of $2 billion.
It is crazy the amount of maxi skirts they were moving at a certain point and then transitioned into the leggings.
Right.
You have to start with the family. It is like the Cullens from Twilight, this family. Like, some of them are married. There's about 85 of them. Mm-hmm.
They're Mormons. They have 14 kids combined, I believe. Is it 11 or 14?
I think it is 14.
Okay, 14 kids combined. Two of them are married to each other, which Mark and Deanne had to, like, quickly be like, they never grew up in the same house. They're not blood related.
It's not weird. They're married. Don't worry about it.
It's not weird at all. Yeah. And I mean, their kids ended up like working for the company. It was like a family business / empire that no one knew how to run.
Nobody knew how to run. And they say that like they're so completely inexperienced. And yet they just kept hiring from within their holiday dinners and were completely over their heads within a matter of years. They had no idea what they were doing because this thing just grew and grew and grew.
It grew so fast and they had no idea what to do. Daryl, I believe, Daryl, our king.
We love him.
We love Daryl. He was someone who came on and worked in the corporate office, and he said that everyone worked out of the same Google Doc.
Okay, so my favorite moment in discussing the programs that they use is Mark is like, we would buy all of these programs, these high profile programs for our inventory and for our stock and for our sales. And, we, you know, it would just be out of date. So then they're like, so we used Google Docs.
Yeah. He's like, we could have retired off of all of the money that we spent on computer systems and everything. And I was, and then all of a sudden they cut to Daryl and he's like, we used Google Docs.
I you know what I use a Google Doc for? A Google Sheet. When I go to a bachelorette party and I'm just trying to price out how much everybody owes me. This is like a multi-billion dollar company selling absolute garbage, moldy, quote, stinky leggings. And they're working out of a Google Doc where people keep overriding each other's numbers. So it's the bottom line is like not even close to the number it's supposed to be. It's a hot mess. A hot mess.
It's a hot mess. And Leanne starts, or Deanne, sorry, she starts this business. Yeah,
let's not get ahead of ourselves with her sister.
Oh, who is right. Allison.
I'm sorry. I just am so excited to get to Tijuana Skinnies.
Oh, I have that in all caps.
Okay.
I was like, Tijuana Skinnies, we'll get there. So the couple like starts this company. And then it just, like I said, it grows and grows and grows. They really have no idea what they're doing. They hire like mentors who like buy the product and then they sell it. But really what is happening is they're making money off of people signing on to be consultants or retailers.
Retailers, which is such a weird word. It really caught me up in the beginning because I would assume that would be a store.
It was like a store.
But at the same time, they are a store because they would sell these things on Facebook Live and through social media. But so you have somebody who comes in, they pay, I think it was
$5,000. $5,000 to $10,000.
For inventory that then they would sell at a markup. Now, they would get these boxes, and I will say one of the most harrowing stories told mine is Daryl's chapoo-poo story, was when this woman tells us that she is camping with her family, and she got the notification she would leave the campsite to check on if her shipment had been delivered, her boxes, and she left her family when she got the notification that her clothing was delivered to her home because this was going to change her life. And there are so many people in this docuseries who truly believe that this was going to completely change their life because that's what they were being sold. Like there was that one woman who was like, so she meant it so much when she was like, I fell in love with these leggings. Yeah. I just was in love with them. The butteriness.
Yeah, the buttery. I feel like LuLaRoe started that whole trend of calling things buttery. But yeah, like these women were so excited to like be a part of LuLaRoe that they had like the contact name in her phone was like life-changing phone call.
Unicorn
emoji. Right. I mean, these women were being told, okay, if you want to join this company, go to extreme lengths to get your deposit ready. Like sell your breast milk.
Yes.
Put it on multiple credit cards.
Yes.
I'm just like, and then like these women get so excited. They started painting rooms in their house, putting shelving up, turning it into a little boutique.
Yeah. I think at one point a woman like kicked her son out of his room.
Yeah. So she was like, you gotta go.
You're eight. Figure it out. As Mark says, like, what did he say about life? He's like, results may vary.
Yeah.
She's teaching that kid that young.
He wants that in every maternity ward.
He said he lobbied Congress for that, I was going to Google if that was true, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give him the satisfaction.
No.
Can I ask you, since you actually know women who have been fans of LuLaRoe, have you ever been approached to join an MLM? I have not. Do people think I can't push a product? I can push a maxi skirt, goddammit.
I haven't been asked to join an MLM. I've been like incessantly approached to like buy.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't want any part of it. Like, I don't want your hair products. I don't want your skincare products. One time I had a hairdresser who I'm no longer, we parted ways after this. You know, when you're in the chair, you're trapped. She starts like selling me like this hair stuff. And she's like, keeps going. And I was like, this is a pyramid scheme. get me out of this chair.
I have never even gotten as much.
You've
as
never gotten an a hey Instagram girly?
Message. Never gotten a hey girly. And I'm like, is it something about my style that they're just like, this is just not, you're just not good enough for these maxi skirts or these leggings. I don't know what I did to deserve it, but I have told this story on my podcast before. I did work at Limited too for 2 weeks. So when it comes to sales, I know a thing or two. Also then I was let go after those 2 weeks because of performance. So maybe they got my records.
Maybe they got wind.
They got wind of my 16-year-old career. Mm-hmm. But I am disappointed because it's one of those things where I'm like, I've never been asked to join a cult or an MLM, and I do feel like I'm missing out. It says more about me than anybody else.
I'll make sure I'll send someone your way just to give you like a hey girly.
I would love a hey girly. I would love to, I mean, I don't even get emails anymore from like the Prince of Nigeria asking me to save his fortune.
They've given up on you.
I know. I know.
They've like, she's, maybe you're just, maybe people just think you're too smart.
I just would love to like fuck with someone.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, tell me more. Like, what's the, tell me more about your creams that will change my face into like a completely different look.
Wait, have you seen those videos? The TikToks where it's like they put cream and then it's like black seeds.
It's black seeds?
So they're like, they put these black like seeds on people's chin to show blackheads. And then they like wipe and it's like just a face-tuned smoothing filter.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's incredible. The next time I come across, I'll make sure to send you.
Well, I've been very focused on the Peter Roth Thomas under eye thing that's been going on TikTok. And I have to say, I sent the TikTok to my mom and I was like, get in on this. Not, no offense, but like, I know you, this is a point of interest for you. And she ordered it. And then somebody in her neighborhood stole it from her because it became such a hot ticket item, sold out everywhere now. Swiped right off of the front porch.
Wow.
I know. So,
oh my God.
But I do love I just want to fuck with somebody and just be like, oh my God, like there is a great TED talk. I don't remember what his name is, but if you are interested in watching somebody actually respond to a pyramid scheme, I have money, I'm trying to push this money and I need you to help me sell whatever it may be. He responds and they have a full back and forth. And they have a full-on, like, friendship. It comes to the point where he has, like, a full friendship with a scammer, and it's fantastic. So I would recommend people watch that YouTube video.
I'm running and not walking.
Do not walk. Do not sleep on this. But, okay.
Back to LuLaRoe. So a big point of, like, a big selling point for them was, like, this exclusivity of the product. Like, Mark is very proud that only 3,000 or less are of the same pattern, so they love uniqueness.
Okay, the uniqueness, which is pulled from Google Images, and all they have to do is change 20%.
Uh-huh. That's what one of the head designers said in an interview during the documentary. She's like, because eventually lawsuits started coming.
Of course, they just keep
copywriting.
Pouring in, just like the water off that legging set that What's Her Face got.
Yeah, it was like... So people were like, you are copying my designs. And they put them side by side.
Identical. And even she was just like, well, we were told we had to change at least 20%. But some designers just didn't abide by that.
Yeah. And she's like, we were told we had to have 100 patterns a day. She's like, so I started.
A day.
I'm like, that's insane.
I know. And to think that like, because you hit a certain number of designs where the quality of the design goes down, where it's just like, this doesn't even look like anything. But to put hamburgers on a pair of leggings, that is like somebody is sitting there with their lunch in front of them and was like, why not? And then when they had to change it 20%, just took the sesame seeds off the bun, I bet. Just a theory, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. When they showed that hamburger vagina.
When they showed all the vaginas.
I was like, whoa.
The lips. The kiss, the quite literally the kiss on the lips. I was aghast.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, because it was close-ups of people's vaginas. And I was like, whoa.
So many vaginas.
So
and
many.
Just to think there is a Facebook group where some women were like, is this positioning weird?
Of like some, a like, feather. Mom is like, does this hamburger look like a vagina? Because it quite literally was in the seam of
yes
your vagina. It was.
I mean, kind of- I think I liked the Leaning Tower of Pisa dick more than the hamburger vagina, but it's tough. It's a tough draw.
So these women, it became like this cult. Like they had seminars. They were like shooting t-shirts out of rocket cannons. Like it was lights and neon and like these, it was like conventions.
Conventions. I mean, truly like millions of dollars went into these events. They mm-hmm. rented out stadiums. Before they even got to the stadium tour though, I do need to talk about Mario Lopez.
Yes, let's discuss.
So at one point, to attract more women. So the whole point is recruit, recruit, recruit. The mm-hmm. more people you recruit, the more bonus checks that you get, which eventually changed. But people were maybe saying, I would only make like $1,000, $2,000 on my inventory. But at the end of the day, I was recruiting. One woman said she had like 5,000 in her downline.
Yeah.
And 5,000 women on her team who would eventually lead her to get like $40,000 in bonus checks.
Yeah.
So because they wanted to recruit these women, they thought, okay, we need somebody who is going to attract this demographic. And that was Mario Lopez. So they hired him for an event for him to take photos at the end of a step and repeat with these women. And then they all posted on Facebook and it got everybody really excited because they're thinking, if Mario Lopez is in, if Slater is in. But the best part of that was whatever that guy's name is, Sam, who we will get to, when Sam says like, yeah, Mario Lopez was way under our budget. I was like, what a burn.
Like, I know. I was like, Mario Lopez is like way under LuLaRoe's budget?
I know.
Like, could we get Mario at like a dip event?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I just feel like for him, that is, there's no returning. It's for an MLM that sells hamburger vagina leggings to say you weren't even good enough for us because you were cheap. That's so embarrassing. Mark Paul Gosselaar, never. And this is extra host Mario Lopez, extra, extra. Like he's like busy.
He's a busy man.
He's in the new reboot for Saved by the Bell. It was just really embarrassing for him. But then they escalated it to like the next event when they're at the stadium. They've got Katy Perry.
Kelly freaking Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. I think Katy Perry, they said, cost like $5 million. Mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson, voice host. I mean, she, again, what is she going to say about this?
I know. I need their thoughts.
They didn't reach out to them for the documentary.
We need to talk to
them.
We'll
just DM them on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll DM them.
Okay, so the whole point of in the way they were selling it is this is an opportunity for you to create your future. And they really went after women who were single moms. Definitely they went after moms. They wanted to really target the market of women who were staying at home but wanted to provide for their family in a way that they could control their schedule. They can control how much work they were putting into it. But the only way you made money is if you dedicated your entire life to it.
Right.
And they really wanted to sell this dream of empowering women, which it wasn't that at all because then they would eventually get the husbands in on it. But I did think it was fascinating. I mean, it's almost comedy gold. This deserves to be in a writer's room. You know, the Emmys were just this weekend when they ask about empowering women and Mark cuts Deanne off. He goes, can I just jump in? And he cuts Deanne off. He's like, I think I can speak about this. And Deanne's like, please, by all means. That is just pure gold. They're so unaware of how they portray themselves is incredible. Did you see on TikTok? I wish I had saved it. The emails that they were sending after this documentary came out.
No.
Okay, so the like mentors, the very high up people, but not like the Deans and the Marks, but the people who have like those 5,000 team members,
yeah,
have been sending emails being like, Mark and Deanne said that they would do this just to provide statements, but then it got twisted. They did not sit down for a full interview. It makes it look like they were working with Amazon on this. They were like trying to make it seem like they got gotcha'd by Amazon. And then they said like the one woman who participated in who's a current retailer, she was trying to help and she didn't realize that her words were going to be twisted.
Oh, the woman that said, "I will work for LuLaRoe
for the rest of my life."
The rest of my life. She's in trouble.
They're trying to make it seem like she just thought she was helping. And they just say like, "Please don't worry about this. We need to like all bond together and stand united." And it is like a 5-page email. Oh, it was what's her face? It was Berta. Berta? Is that her name?
Bertha?
You know the woman. It's one of the women in the documentary. She's the one who got forwarded these emails. So
oh, God.
It is wild. They're still trying so hard to cover themselves, but again, no response from Kelly Clarkson. So
I mean, like what you were saying earlier, they really were preying on women who are like they want to be a hashtag boss babe.
And they had to forced them to hashtag certain things mm-hmm. because of LuLaRoe.
Yeah, because like if they got a new car, it was like because of LuLaRoe. If they got a new house, it was because of LuLaRoe. And it was like it took over their life in every way.
If you got a new car and you didn't hashtag it, they would reach out to you and say like, you should be hashtagging with because of LuLaRoe. We want women to see that this is what they could live. And they would – these women are like freaking like buying out Louis Vuitton after getting one paycheck and – it's because of this. I mean, it's because they would be making these bonus checks. But then the thing is, like, the women at the bottom were not making anything.
No.
Like, they're making nothing. One woman on the documentary who was a very high-up mentor is owed $100,000 from this company still. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then we get into the Tijuana Skinnies. Let's talk about the Tijuana Skinnies. Allison. So the brand is pretty much a lot about image, like the life that they want these women to like aspire and inspire other women to be like, and that, you know, they talk a lot about your hair, your makeup, your weight. And then Deanne goes to Tijuana and gets the gastric sleeve.
The sleeve. Don't get it confused with the balloon.
No, very different, as we learn later in the documentary. And she obviously, like, gets really thin. She loses, like, 70 pounds. And then she starts telling the other women, like, oh, you know, I look great. And I want you to look great. And Deanne says, she's like, I mean, I didn't tell these women to get the gastric sleeve. They would just come to me crying and hating themselves. And I just recommended this doctor in Tijuana.
And then her sister gets involved. Deanne's sister, Lene, who is essentially like a drug mule for women who want to get the gastric sleeve in Tijuana, mm-hmm. where she would be, you get added to a group text and it's called Tijuana Skinnies. And she's sending in this thread, we're taking women down weekly. Like, come on, I'm taking people down to TJ weekly. Don't miss out on the next trip. All you got to do is I drive you down and then you fly back, which I don't even understand that. Like, are they getting a cut of the surgeries?
I feel like Deanne was getting like a kickback. Like
there's got to be a kickback.
Yeah. Because the way she was like pushing these women in like – I'm just imagining them all in like vans like
yes.
driving down. Yeah.
Oh, I'm picturing them though like in like the back of a van.
Oh, no seatbelts. And I mean thousands of women were getting surgery. Like
thousands.
This wasn't like two or three people.
And I am not judging anybody who decides to get any type of surgery. I think that we should all do whatever makes us feel the absolute best about ourselves. But Dr. Michelle, who is the doctor performing these surgeries, it is a company called Obesity Not For Me. And the four is the number four, the numerical yeah. four. That's what really got me was the name of it because, again, do whatever you want. But when I'm getting an internal surgery done, I'm going to want it coming from something that doesn't sound like an Instagram account. Obesity Not For Me.
Yeah. No, it feels very not great. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't look great. And like one of the women who was very open about her experiences in this scheme, she got the gastric balloon.
Because the other thing is like to your point earlier about how it's all about image. Mm-hmm. These women were made to feel like they need to look their best, not only own the best items, but absolutely look incredible because they are selling not only product, but they're selling themselves. Because if you can sell the dream, more women are going to want to sign up for your dream, which is maybe not even their dream. But after going to dinner with Deanne and her son, who share a meal at dinner, feels incredible. I don't know why I don't like that line.
When they ordered like one entree, I was
Split. They split. I didn't like that. But she decides that she wants to get the gastric balloon. It sounds like it explodes or something.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but it didn't feel great.
She's well right now. So, I mean, we don't have to worry about her, but she eventually went to Deanne and Deanne was like, yeah, well, that's what happens when you get the balloon. My doctor told me this ahead of time. That's why I got the sleeve in Tijuana.
Yeah, she was like, sorry.
Sorry, well, we're taking women down weekly. Come on in. Hop on into the van.
Get on in, girl.
And she didn't do it, thank God.
Right. But to your point, you said that they had to have the best inventory. But when you order, you're not in charge of what prints you get. You just get whatever. So then these women, they would call them unicorns, right? The special leggings, the special prints. So these women would go on hunts to find the special leggings so they could sell. It was wild.
It becomes almost like a game for them to, but you have to think about it. Do you remember, like, McDonald's had the Monopoly? I don't even know if they still do that.
Oh, McMillions, the documentary?
Yes. Okay, so McMillions, the whole concept is to keep buying and putting money back into this company because of the opportunity that is one in a million. And so to find the unicorn pair of leggings that is just, like, the perfect print, you're just going to keep ordering. You're like, you know what? I'm going to just buy three more boxes and maybe that print will be in there. And it never was. But then what's crazy is then later on, they started actually reselling patterns and styles that were from years ago.
I got cringe sweats watching these women on Instagram Live. I got even more sweaty when I saw the men, the husbands join, because that was eventually what Deanne and Mark wanted. There was this idea of retiring your husband, which... there's a woman and her husband, Tiffany, and I don't remember her husband's name, but he was quite a character. He was the showman. Like, he was the one in front of the camera, razzle dazzle, you know, jazz hands, selling these leggings. He was often in costume. And he spoke out very openly about this. He was like, it was so sinister what this company was trying to do with other families. It's like, retire your husband so that you're completely dependent on this company and working even harder.
Well, that's the thing, is to have them be dependent, it is not unlike a cult or Scientology, for example, where everything you care about is revolving around this one thing, and you can't lose that one thing, otherwise your whole life crumbles. They have their entire savings accounts tied to this company. His work, her work. If they leave, they are unemployed and they have a family. And it is so dark to think about what they were doing to make people solely rely on LuLaRoe when LuLaRoe was doing nothing to make sure that they were okay, to make sure that they were provided for, and then eventually just completely screwing people over by changing their bonus check system. And I mean, people were saying their checks would drop from $6,000 to $800. Yeah. And people weren't even able to, like, provide for their family anymore.
Because they were kind of like, they weren't living beyond their means. But when you're right. When you're relying on bonuses, you are. Like, that's not a steady stream.
Not for sure. Yeah, right. It's not for sure.
So these women were buying large homes, two Cadillac, you know, SUVs, pools, like Louis Vuitton bags. And like, one woman even said, she's like, I was spending so much money, and it's like she had nothing to show for it at the end of the day.
No, it was all going out the door.
And some of these husbands were very skeptical of this whole situation. They were like, we what the fuck are you doing?
I know. I think that, like, I would love to see the statistics of how many divorces came from LuLaRoe.
Oh, my God.
There's got to be a ton.
A ton. A ton. Do you know,
like, I don't know why I was surprised by it, but to listen to Deanne's marital advice really blew my mind.
Would you like to share what some of the tips and tricks?
Well, I mean, her biggest tip is, like, if you want something, just all you have to do is get on your knees once a week for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just classic. That's Deanne. And then I'm like, I got upset because then I was like, oh my God, I've just been staring at Deanne and Mark for like 3 hours at this point. That's not the thing I needed in my head. It is very much the woman is providing for the husband, even though they say retire your husband. And mm-hmm. and it is wild. Her mother wrote she sells it as a book about feminism. It's not.
Yeah. I loved the part where she was like, the 60s were a really weird time. Women didn't know what their role was. They went from being Leave It to Beaver to burning their bras. And then she goes, I don't really know what happened in the 70s. It's like, Deanne, what are you talking about? Like, Oh my God.
That was incredible. I mean, all of it. They would give like marital advice if like, you know, to the women about like how they can be. And that's what I just don't understand is like, to what end? How does that, but is that to just really embed themselves into these people's relationships? Because it really shouldn't matter what Heather in Michigan is, what her problems her and her husband are having. But if LuLaRoe is getting embedded in it and helping them, you feel more indebted to LuLaRoe and you're never going to get out then. It's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, because they're selling this idea too of like family. Family, family, family. If you go to their website even now, it's a huge selling point for them to get people on board with their company. And so they can't have families falling apart.
No, I mean, they love family. I mean, they love family. So much so that some of them have married each other. But yeah.
Oh, God. It's just, then the lawsuits. Because so as demand obviously went up, designers had to make shitty prints, like we've said. But then women started getting, a woman says that she got her package and it like one was heavier than the rest. And she's like, this is really weird. She opens it up. It's like soaking wet. It's stinky
leggings.
What
happened to that one pair of leggings that was needed to be wrung out? Like one pair of leggings in that box was soaking wet. How?
How? Lachey. The star, really, of this documentary.
Star. This woman wore Chanel to her first day and then was told, no, you need to go change and put on a maxi skirt.
Yeah, get your ass in the warehouse, throw on a print, yep. Let's go.
Take the Chanel off. You thought you were going to impress us. No, unless you are wearing a tribal print maxi skirt, I'm not interested. And that woman that told her that was Deanne.
Yeah, of course. She was like, that was the first day I met her, and it was quite the impression. But so she says, she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, this wasn't shocking to anyone at the corporate office in California because they had seen so much inventory sitting out in the parking lot. So they would just take inventory from the parking lot, put it in a box, and ship it to their retailers / mentors, trainers, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the scene where they showed the parking lot, it looks like a dump, like a garbage dump. It's really wild.
It looks like a warehouse, like if I got a bird's eye view on like FEMA. Like
yes,
a FEMA
yeah.
warehouse.
No, that's like, exactly what it looks like.
It was crazy.
It looks like a disaster site. You're right. It does. It is truly, it is huge dumpsters of bagged goods. I use quotes. And it's just sitting there baking in the sun, getting mm-hmm. wet from God knows what. And then even worse, getting moldy.
Moldy.
Stinky leggings.
So this is something that I thought was so funny was when you would make a complaint to the corporate office, one of the options was stinky leggings. Like that was a thing on the
drop down. You have the drop down menu. Usually it's like my order didn't, I got the wrong items. It didn't fit. I didn't like the color. I changed my mind. And then stinky leggings. Stinky so it was leggings. Happening enough that they needed to create a like the code for that to appear because it was such a frequent problem.
And one of the solutions was to throw them in the freezer.
The freezer.
Mm-hmm. that was something corporate was telling their people, is to put the stinky leggings in the freezer. So, I mean, people were spending so much on inventory and so much of it coming in was they were unable to sell.
They had holes in them. Seams were mismatched. I mean, it was truly like, I don't think the quality was ever good, but it got so bad.
So bad. And like, obviously women took to social media, news outlets started picking it up. So Deanne and Mark kind of felt pressure to put in a buyback program so you could return merchandise from retailers. And this is what they called the Great Exodus, because that was how a lot of women got out of the company. Like, that is like, they took that chance and they were like, okay, just let's send it all back because we just need to get out of here.
Right. Even though they ended up withholding refunds that women deserve.
Right.
So that is still a huge ongoing problem for the company and is a big part of the Washington versus their LLC lawsuit that's going on right now, because these women are entitled to these funds. Yeah. And I believe there are like 3,600 people who have yet to receive checks as part of the settlement still.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting hit with lawsuits like left and right.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're getting, like, Washington State has filed a lawsuit against them of like almost $5 million. Because they're like, you're a pyramid scheme.
Well, okay. Can we talk about that moment really quickly in the documentary?
Okay. And then we'll get to that right after the break. Let's be honest, ratings and reviews are so important, especially when you're in need of a doctor. You wouldn't go to a restaurant if they only had one star, so why go through all of that with a healthcare provider? And after the last year, now is the time to prioritize your health. Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, or other specialist, ZocDoc has you covered. Just download the free ZocDoc app, the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment in person or video chat. Never wait on hold with a receptionist again. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Go to ZocDoc.com/HOTM and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOTM.
Well, okay, can we talk about that moment really quickly in the documentary where it's like two people over Zoom who are saying, like, what do you say when people say we are a pyramid scheme? And the way that they rationalize it, other than her being like, my husband thought that we were a pyramid scheme, so I had to prove him wrong, which is always the go-to response of like, no, because I wouldn't be doing this if it was a pyramid scheme.
Right.
But it's like, no, but you are though still. You right. still are. But the way they kind of rationalized not being a pyramid scheme was because they changed their bonus checks from getting bonuses on bringing people on, signing people up, versus now switching it over to sales. So before, you would get a bonus if one of your team members on the downline would buy inventory, you got a bonus for that. Because that money, regardless of if it sells or not, is going into LuLaRoe's cash, you know? Mm-hmm. But now it was if that person downline, who you might not have even ever heard of, but is recruited many, many, many people down from you, sells those items. But the problem was nobody was able to sell those items because they became so, so bad.
Stinky.
So stinky leggings. So now women are, I mean, that's where the check, and so that was their whole rationalization of like, now we are rewarding for, it's basically commission, right? Mm-hmm. And that was their way of saying that is not what a pyramid scheme is. But then at one point, the guy in the Zoom call says, and that's why we have to stop being a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, Sam.
He literally calls them.
Yes, because also in the documentary, we get to see the depositions of Deanne, Mark, Sam, like a ton of people in the company. So
they didn't know anything going on in that company, according to that those depositions. Like Deanne and Mark were constantly like, I don't know.
I know. The one woman was like, what is the address of your warehouse. And she's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Actually. But I mean, they asked Sam straight up. They were like, was this a pyramid scheme? Did you ever say this? He says, no. And then they play the clip of him saying, we're trying to get away from being a pyramid scheme. I mean, it's a phenomenal documentary, you guys. It's.
Can we touch on Sam really quickly? Sam, who.
The hype
who
man? Got,
Sam, the hype man, a nephew of Deanne, mm-hmm. who got excommunicated because he was reportedly, like, excuse my language, fucking some of the retailers.
Yeah.
He then was excommunicated. Nobody was allowed to talk to him. But I don't feel like he says he didn't do that for what it's worth. He said he was having, there were no relationships with any of the retailers. But my guess is maybe he started asking too many questions. He started, you know, being a little, but so that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, wow, they really framed Sam. Then we find out that Sam tried to start a weed business and asked one of the former retailers for $30,000 in text messages that can only be described as, you block that contact. And he was like, you give me 30, I give you 90 back, yo. And it's like to this woman, like this mother of three in like North Dakota. And she's like, I was just suspicious. And then he sent her an image of just stacks and stacks of cash that he stole from Google. He thought that he was really onto something here, but he was the one being scammed. But I still, I'm like, well, now I don't know who to believe. Were you having sexual relations with these women? Were you just a victim in this weed business? I don't know, but I really went through a journey with Sam. That's for sure.
There were so many like mini little like baby journeys throughout this whole thing. Like it wasn't just Mark and Deanne. It was like Sam. And then there was the girl. It lives in New Jersey. And she like really got this going with the lawsuit. She wanted to file a class action lawsuit against them. And, mm-hmm. Like it was just so much.
They have, I mean, like you said, they have so many lawsuits still going.
Still going. And they seem in the documentary like this isn't happening. Like they're like,
oh no.
They're like, I don't understand like why these women were upset. Like they at one point, Mark was yelling at women over Facebook Live.
Well, that's what was so weird is the shift, and I think it happens around like the third episode of the four, where it becomes when people started complaining, the anger from Mark and Deanne is you're just not cut out for this. You are not a salesperson. And that's when he says like the whole like, you know, the whole life is what is it? Results vary.
May vary. Yeah.
Results may vary.
He gets angry.
And he's bullying these women. He's like, you're just not good at this. So you should just, you know, shut up or leave. Get out.
Because he's like, if you can't sell these ugly ass prints, that's your problem.
That's on you.
Right.
That is on you.
He's like, not on us. Like they literally don't think they did anything wrong. Their interviews, the depositions, the interviews are bone chilling.
Yeah.
Like, and these women that were interviewed for this documentary, they seem like devastated. They were hoodwinked. Bamboozled, led astray.
They really were. And I think it's because like so often you hear about like cults or, I mean, really I'm thinking like Scientology, where you have people who join for a belief and it's not necessarily like you are earning money back, but you get some type of an earning in terms of spirituality, self-worth, whatever it may be, community. But at the same time, that's exactly what was happening with LuLaRoe in that you have community. I mean, so much of this was the community that got built. But the thing that changes it is you get money. And people were earning a lot of money at a certain point.
Someone got a check of $1 million.
And when it crashed, though, it crashed and burned. And so they are able to sell this more as this is a business and you're either in or you're out. It's only going to work if you hustle versus other things like other cults where it's like, you know, it's more rewarding internally. Like there is a physical reward to this.
Yeah.
But the whole concept is there is always going to be more money going into LuLaRoe's pocket than there will be yours. That is just period. That's what it's going to be. And I think that people forget that because they hear one woman made a $5,000 after one party and they're like, that could be me, not realizing that LuLaRoe is getting 10, I'm just making up these numbers, but getting $10,000, $12,000, $50,000 off of these women's work. And it's just, it's insane. And the craziest thing is you can still join LuLaRoe.
Mm-hmm. It's still a company that's active. They still...
If you listen to this whole podcast and you're like, I'm interested, where do I sign up?
Yeah, maybe this was propaganda for LuLaRoe. Yeah. I don't know. They now have a full like income disclosure statement on their website, which was part of like their basically settlement they had to make with Washington State to like prove that they are not a pyramid scheme or to avoid being called a pyramid scheme. So the average retailer income is now about $10,000, where the median gross profit is about $1,000. And the startup costs are now only $499 instead of $10,000.
Yeah, like that's a previously. Huge drop. And that's for like six, but at the same time, that is for 65 pieces of clothing.
Right.
So let's consider the quality there.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
You might get a sheer legging that you can't wear in public, but that's why tunics are invented. Cover the ass. You don't have to worry about your hamburger vagina or your butt crack showing because you're going to wear one of their tunics that they also sell.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole look.
There was one image of Deanne in a leopard tunic. Or no, not leopard. I'm sorry. Zebra tunic. So a black and white tunic with orange pattern leggings. And I was like... Oh, Deanne, like, you don't have to, like, this is where you let other people look a fool.
And, well, all of these women, too, they have an MLM vibe. You know what I mean? They all look the same.
Yeah. I mean,
they all have similar energies.
They also say in the documentary it was an incredibly white company. Mm-hmm. It still is. I don't know the numbers, but I think at one point they say, like, the majority of women are just white moms.
Right.
So I'm just saying, look into it. If you are a white mom listening to this podcast, don't respond to Hey Girlie.
Don't respond. Run away. Block that number. Block that person. If you ever get a message, Hey Girlie, I know it's been a long time. Hey Girlie, I have a really great opportunity. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Get away from me. That is the moral of this podcast, the story. No Hey Girlie.
Please, please, please pour one out for Daryl, who, again, has a personal grudge against Kelly Clarkson because she performed at one of their stadium tours, and he cannot listen to his favorite duet of Kelly Clarkson anymore. That's how – he's never going to be the same.
No, he looks like he's on the verge of tears when he tells this story. Like, he's –
Well, distraught. He said he would go to the bathroom and have like a – he would cry.
Mental breakdowns in the LuLaRoe corporate office in Corona, California.
The same bathroom where I will say once again, because I feel like we glossed over it before, they had their chipoo-poo incidents where he said that the whole company would order Chipotle and they called it chipoo-poo.
Allison, just tell us really quick the chipoo-poo story.
All I did – this is before I decided to just let this docuseries happen to me. So I was taking notes and all I wrote was Daryl chipoo-poo.
Yeah,
and he basically – he just said that they, like, would order – what did he say? Like, they would order lunch?
He would order, like, lunch all the time. It was – they had sandwich bars.
Yes.
I love a sandwich. I was kind of jealous. Sandwich bars, tacos, and then she would order Chipotle.
Yeah.
Which then led
they
to the
called chipoo-poo. Which I feel like we don't even need to get into why.
No.
But
we all know.
You can Google it. And I just thought, like, wow, this man is just – he is not holding back. And that's when I knew we had a star. When I saw a grown man who just dreams of being a high school girls volleyball ref.
That's all he wants. And his dad is the one. His dad was like, you cannot be a referee for the rest of your life.
But that's
all
he dreams of.
You have to find purpose.
He found purpose at LuLaRoe. And he will never be the same. And he is a star. He's a star.
He's a star. He's so earnest. He's so heartbroken and angry and devastated. And it's lovely. It's a great documentary, you guys. It's on Amazon Prime. It's 4 episodes. Fantastic. It makes me want more MLM documentaries because these people are just fucking nuts and I love them.
It's if you loved like The Inventor, like Elizabeth Holmes or Fire Fraud, Fire Festival docuseries, this is like 100% up your alley. Mm-hmm. Watch it. You will not regret it. I promise.
Well, thank you, Allison, so much for coming on. I always love talking to you. You gave great insight, great perspective.
Thanks.
On this documentary. And you guys, make sure you rate, subscribe, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Check out the other podcasts. Allison has two amazing podcasts on Apple brought to you by The Dip. TV Watch Repeat and Pop Chaser, which is a daily pop culture podcast. There's also the Slut Pig podcast. But now we said it. I mean, there's like so many.
So many podcasts.
If they're all amazing. And Allison, do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at Allison Piwo, P-I-W-O, on Twitter and Instagram. And I post photos of my dog on moose.the.wheaton on Instagram. And he's growing steadily, just like an MLM.
Yeah.
So we'll be taking over the airwaves just like Deanne on a Zoom call. And so watch that space.
All right. Well, thanks. Bye.
Bye.